So the retreat began last night. It's been a full day and a night. Someone said, well, what have you been doing? Sitting, walking. Yet a lot can happen in 24 hours. This evening marks the beginning of the Shabbat. And that principle is at the heart of retreat. Stopping, pausing. But it's not that everything just finishes. But when we pause, at least there's the opportunity to see what has been created, to get perspective. On all the patterns that we tend to react to. So that in time we can recognize what is unhelpful, unskillful, those patterns which lead to just more fevered activity, more frenzied creation, those patterns that lead to conflict. When we pause and feel, allow them to become conscious, then there's the possibility of knowledge arising, revelation to occur. What we don't see clearly, there's no way we can be still kind of hits my, there's no way we can be free from it. Still.
How was it before? Just when it started.
So if I speak like this, can you hear that? Okay. In the course of just a day and a night, how many moods seems so convincing, so overwhelming. So eternal. Yet even though they're on one level, we're not doing much sitting and walking. The limitation. The conscious surrender to that structure. Allows us to meet, not to avoid, but to see, to feel what has been created. And this is not easy. On one level, it's a relief to not have to be creating a lot more new karma. But on the other hand, all our tendencies rise up to the surface. And like Tanisra was saying at the tea time, we, quoting our dear friend, the abbot of Chithurst Monastery, Ajahn Sujito, we're eyeball to eyeball with our karma. What our tendencies are come up. On one level, we should give ourselves credit that we're still here. One might feel, certainly we feel this frequently, let's get out of here. One should at least give oneself credit for hanging in there for the sake of we're not harming anyone. for the sake of learning to be realistic, learning to bear the human condition. We're working on an aspect of the path called samadhi, what's called the middle aspect. Tanisar touched on the whole path last night, the foundation, the ethical restraint, the living in a way that doesn't harm is the foundation. Even though it sounds negative, we're not killing, not stealing, not trying to engage each other in sexuality. We're not lying, not seeking nibbana through just getting drunk. That sounds negative, but it's actually an offering. With that level of restraint, we offer each other a safe space. On some level, we offer all the beings around us, just when we have a commitment to trying not to harm. On some level, that restraint, that learning, that intending not to act on those impulses if we can, to intentionally harm. We're consciously trying to cherish life. That's a gift, the Buddha says, a great gift. And that, as Tanisha was pointing out, gives rise, lays the foundation for samadhi, for a composed, calm state of mind. And when the mind is more calm and steady, it sees clearly, which is the last aspect, the liberating aspect. When we see clearly, then we get liberated from our wrong views, our biases, our distortions. It might sound simple, though, the ethics giving rise to calm then seeing clearly to free us from suffering. But actually this factor of the path that we're cultivating now is considered by the great Ajahns the most difficult in a way. The great meditation master of Thailand, Ajahn Lee, Lee Dhammadaro, he compared the three aspects of the path, this virtue, samadhi or meditation, and wisdom. He compared it to building a bridge across a river. Three pillars support the bridge. The pillar on the near side is in the shallow water. It's not a very strong current. It's not too difficult to build that. The pillar on the far side, the pillar, the support column, the structure, the pillar on the far side is in the shallow water. It's not moving so fast. It's not as difficult to build. But the pillar in the middle of the bridge, to hold up the middle of the bridge, has to go down through the deepest part of the current, the most fast flowing. He compared that to what we've been doing, cultivating samadhi. The support pillar on this side, the virtue, in a way, is straightforward. It's more tangible. We practice not harming. Practice not taking. Practice not exploiting each other just for our selfish pleasure. It's challenging, it's difficult, but in a way it's straightforward. It's easier to comprehend, to do. And the final pillar, the wisdom, also is not that difficult once the mind is concentrated or composed. The Buddha described that like a hot stove, a cast iron hot stove that has been heated for hours, so it's really hot. When a drop of water falls on that hot cast iron stove. It disappears so quickly. The water falls on the stove. It's gone. When our mind is composed, when it's here, grounded, rooted in the present moment, then the, just like the water on the stove, evaporating so quickly, when the mind is composed, thoughts are so clearly ephemeral, changing, ungraspable. The doubts, the worries are so obviously insubstantial. They're true, but not true. They're so misleading. When the mind is really composed, it's easier to see through all the views and opinions. But this cultivation of a steady mind is challenging because the current, the fast-flowing current, what is that? All these thoughts we have of the past, replaying conversations, our currents of wanting something to happen, desires of wanting something to happen, wrestling with conditions, it's too hot, it's too cold, it's too noisy, wrestling with the sensations of our body, this current of wanting something to happen, desire, not wanting something to happen, wanting to have more energy, or sometimes wanting less energy, we're too wound up. All these patterns. So even though we've only sitting and walking, sometimes at the end of just one day and night, you can feel like you've been in a spin dryer or a washing machine. Because of these currents. And yet, if we're going to sink a pillar for support down through the current, rooted into the ground, to support that bridge across suffering from confusion to a place of safety and peace. We need then to work with these currents and find a way to plunge the support structure through the currents, touching something solid, the solid ground. It's challenging, but it can be done. And it's a work, a patient work. And the solid ground that we use is just this earth element right here, this body. Thoughts of the future, what's gonna happen? A million, billion possibilities of what might happen. Then the mind can so quickly rush into the past. Relive this conversation, that conversation. The mind changes so fast. But in this world of change, the changes of the body are more gradual, more slow. So upon his awakening, the Buddha realized this cultivation of a composed, steady heart first uses this foundation of the body. And when the Buddha defined samadhi, when someone asked him, what is samadhi? He said, citta ekagata. Citta, that's the heart of awareness, eka, is unified. What gets unified in the heart of awareness? All these streams, different streams of our being, which get so fragmented and confused. Tanisara has already touched on them, but these are the three karmic dimensions, the three main dimensions, the thinking part, which is sometimes called speech, because what we speak was first a thought. but it's really the brain, the thinking mind, the head. The body, that physicality, and the awareness, that which brings it all together. So sometimes the head loses total touch with the grounding of the body. As our friend, again, Ajahn Sucitto said, sometimes we're just a head on wheels. We're just thinking, thinking, thinking. We don't notice our body until it gets too hungry or too hot or this or that. We just push it around. But in this particular practice, we're bringing these dimensions together. And so rather than hating thought, we're going to use our thought, encouraged by the Buddha, to help bring everything back into the heart. It's lovely, someone was sharing in the questions and answer how beautiful it was when their mind just stopped thinking for 3 minutes. Sound wonderful. That is lovely. But if we hate thought and try to make the mind just stop thinking, then sometimes we just set up a war zone. Yes, as meditation gets more subtle, we can learn to, sometimes it happens naturally, but we can, through skill, learn to allow the thinking to subside. But actually, that's quite a subtle level. The Buddha taught that the whole first level of deep, first level of calm has thought in it, but a certain kind of thought, a thought that helps us. A thought that directs us continually to this ground. Remember, this pillar in the middle needs to go through the current into the bottom, the ground. We're going to use thought, what the Buddha called vitakka, a directed thought, a short. It's a moderate. It's not a big long essay. It's just a quiet thought that keeps reminding what? The attention to go to the body here now. It's very important. It's called the first jhana factor, the word for a deep, stable, composed state. The first jhana is this durable state of calm, has in it thought. Thought doesn't disturb it. A certain kind of thought. For example, what's an example of a directed thought? This vitakka, or like, how is it now? That's a thought, a quick thought. The thought appears and dissolves, but brings the attention now. So rather than lost in the future, lost in the past, it brings us now. Even the thought, I am sitting. Or the thought, peacefully I breathe in. Peacefully I breathe out. Quiet thought doesn't have to get in the way. We don't have to shout it, I'm breathing in. We don't have to use the thought to knock everything else away. But the thought, for example, peacefully I breathe in can be a quiet thought that just reminds the attention to be here. It directs the attention. It's the yang aspect of awareness. Yang. It directs. But if it's only the yang aspect, then, and sometimes a lot of Western meditators, this is what we get lost in. We just do the yang part. We shout, we try to bully the mind. Get back there, I told you. If you don't get back there, I'm gonna, I don't know what, I'll do something. Get back there. We're pushing, pushing. And then the mind keeps slipping off because we just force it back. force it back. The directing back is important, but the Buddha always taught vitakka, or directed thought, with vichara, with the receptive, yin, the more feminine, receptive. The two work together. We direct the attention and then receive what's here. That's how the bonding happens. It's like, if you ever been in a conversation with someone and they say, "How are you?" But they don't wait for anything. They just say, "How are you?" And then they keep talking at you, talking at you, talking at you, and you feel like you're a butterfly pinned on a wall. And then they say, "That sure was a nice conversation." And then you wait for someone to unpin you from the wall. It was good intention. It was yang. But when do we notice their complexion? Or that their eyes are looking like, "Get me out of here." Or when do we wait for their sound? So, if we have a directed thought like, "Peacefully I breathe in," or "in," then that thought dissolves. It's a moderated, do you know what I mean by the word moderated? It's not a long thought, just a short thought. And then the heart receives. So the way we learned in Thailand was with one word, a mantra. Buddho, the name of Buddha. But it's not the Buddha 2,500 years ago. Buddho is this Buddha. Oh dear. Yes, this Buddha. The wakeful one that's in all of our hearts. Bud, when you breathe in, Bud. Tho, to. The word brings us back to the present. And just reminds us then to receive what? The sensations, or what, whatever, the feeling tone, the rhythm, the pulse. Let's say we're being with the breathing at the nostrils. It's just a quiet word, but to. It's like if you're driving in a rainstorm. I know it doesn't happen very often, but it happened today. Some interesting rain. Can't see. Maybe you don't need many windshield wipers in Israel. But sometimes it's useful when it cleans the screen. You can see for a second. Buddha is like that. You might be having all sorts of other thoughts and worries, but Buddha. It's just a sound, a word to remind you to be present and then to receive. You don't, there's many other words you can use, like I said before, even just the word in, out. Have you ever noticed when you're doing something that requires delicate, that sometimes you talk to yourself, you'll just say steady, and the word steady is still a thought. It's just directing you and helping you stay present. That thought is not disturbing the samadhi. The whole first level of calm has that thought. So even, some people even use counting, but not a big heavy number. It's just like one. When you maybe even breathe in quietly and breathing out one. Just something to help us remember to be present. Breathing in quietly, out two. Maybe go up to 5 or 10. Or Buddho. Or even sometimes I've sometimes used, especially if I'm busy, just a quiet word, "Peacefully I breathe in. Peacefully I breathe out." Or even "in." Out. So still the other sounds, the other currents, the other habits might be coming. But our vitakka, our directed thought, brings us to the body that's touching the solid ground through the currents. And then the awareness brings them all together. So the word, the phrase, it's the mental energy. The body is directing the attention to the body, to the sensations. The awareness holds it. Eka, things are coming together. The third jhana factor, or the third thing that helps us, very important, the Buddha called pitti. Sometimes in English translated as rapture. And you think, huh, I sure didn't have that today. Well, yeah, sometimes it can be really strong and we just feel so filled with joy we might cry or even our hair get the goosebumps. That's when it's really, really strong, but the seed, the key to it is very important that we can practice. It means being filled. It means savoring, like when you taste a nice soup. We've been having some lovely soup, lovely food. When you taste it, we're in too big a hurry to get to the next thing. Then we don't savor. Savor means to really taste it. We practice tasting the moment, even if it's painful, even if it's difficult. Because this state of mind is receiving so that the energy can build up. If we're too busy getting rid of something, getting to the next thing, then pitti doesn't happen. This kind of rapture is a being filled with, a savoring, a learning how to enjoy quietly. Remember, we're starting by withdrawing rather than following this out there, following that out there, fighting this or fighting that. We're not fighting it, we're just letting it be. Directing the attention here, and then all that extra energy that was going in different directions has a chance to fill up gradually. So as we're with the in and out breath, we might think, oh, but this isn't rapture. I want to get more peaceful like I was that I had a retreat 2 years ago. It's amazing. Okay. Hear that memory. Let it be. And then the energy that's now, maybe it's a duller feeling, a heavier feeling, a jerkier feeling. As we breathe with that in and out, we hold it. We savor, we bless it with awareness. That quickens the vibration. Awareness, when it touches something, quickens, it gets more refined. It's where we have to be patient. We're digesting this undigested restlessness and karma and sleepiness and heaviness and doubt. What transforms it is awareness. And this third jhana factor, this support is really giving a container that we can receive and hold, cradle our experience. And that combined with the next one, sukha, relax. Sukha means ease. It's a happiness. It's learning to relax. That's why the qigong is really helpful to help us get the feeling for being with the body, being aware of the whole body, and learning to relax. As we relax, the channels open, and then the energy can find its way through. Using a thought to bring us back, like in, out. like buddho, a quiet thought that then allows us to receive and feel the texture of this body, this moment, this breath, these sensations. Practicing. Now the habit is always to jump to the next thing. That's a current. It's not easy. This is difficult work. But we can practice letting that habit go. We can practice again and again with kindness. Just saying, not now. When the mind wants to think about this and the mind wants to think about that. Let's say if you were in Tel Aviv or somewhere where you're living and you had some guests, but you didn't have milk for them and you needed to go to a shop to get some milk. And you went outside and you still see people on the street that you know, but you don't have time for a big conversation. They might say hello. You just nod at them, touch them. Hello, nice to see you. But you weave in between so that you can get the milk and go back and meet your guests. Similarly, all sorts of thoughts that let's figure this out and what am I going to do about that decision next year? And, you know, I can't believe they said that to me 3 years ago. And there'll be a time we can look at different things, but we're a slave if every time something comes into the mind, we have to follow it. That's bondage. It's very helpful to be able to learn how to be able to touch with kindness, just like you're greeting people on the street. Just saying hello. Just say, I'll catch you later. Not now. It's not a war. We're not fighting. So we're learning to let the currents that are going through the heart, all the desires and aversions, we're feeling them. But our word is continually reminding us to drive that pillar into the ground. The word tells us, peacefully I breathe in. Just not now, and directing the attention to the body. And if the restlessness is there, never mind. We cradle that energy as we breathe in and out, relaxing, savoring. The Buddha taught that we'll never be good at samadhi if we don't know how to bear things. You know that word, bear things, how to endure, how to be patient. The English word is B-E-A-R, to bear it. The Buddha said we can't enter samadhi, really, if we can't bear sights and sounds and smells and tastes. So some sensations, sounds, sights are difficult impingement. For some people like them, some don't. We're going to have some things that are hard to bear. But if we practice relaxing, being patient, being kind to that, that makes it easier to enter samadhi. Because if we just fight it, then that's bringing us out. Samadhi is a deep directing the attention here and then receiving the moment rather than being caught seeking something out there. Here's an example. Tanisha and I, we don't get to come to Israel very often, but nice to be back. And so we took an outing on Wednesday. We went to Jerusalem, to the holy city. And so we had been given instructions how to do buses and this and that. And we got there and it was quite, took a few wrong turns here and there, but we walked in to the, we were asking about the old city and a policeman was phoning someone and then had to ask the person on the other end of the phone, old city? It was quite funny. But we got there. And we went to the wall and put prayers in for my father and for Tanisra's family and for, we did prayers for everyone. And then we wanted to go to the church that's holy for the Christians, the Church of the Holy, Church of the Holy Sepulchre. Sepulchre. How do you say it? Sepulchre. So we went in, and then we went upstairs, and there was a crowd. Wow. Picture taking, people taking pictures and shoving to get through, and loud. It was a din. It was so loud. And part of me was just thinking, what am I doing in here? And because I love sacred places. I love places of pilgrimage because that's people's aspiration. And so for, and then I just, and I was also tired. I get tired a lot. And Tanisra was going to go up and see this wonderful image of Mother Mary and her pained heart. And, but I just sat on the, out of the way on a marble bench with this throng of people. And my first impulse was, can I get out of here? And I just, you know, this is a holy place. What are you guys making all this racket for? But being, I thought, God, you're a meditation teacher, for heaven's sakes. So I just paused a second. And just paused a second. And just allowed. Just paused and let the sound be what it was. And I didn't have to judge all these, what people were doing. Actually, people were excited to be there. But in not fighting, not wrestling against anything, and just my attention naturally went just to the body and my butto, or Kuan Yin is a wonderful word too. Kuan Yin means just listen. And the sounds come and go, and at the heart of listening, I just grounded it into the body, to the breath, to presence. It was blissful. Not having to do anything. So bearing with, especially with a kindliness, especially with our aching bodies and the temperature and the sounds, just practice breathing with, allowing. And there's a skill, especially these first few days, a real skill that we can deepen if we practice for the rest of our life, little by little, learning how to let our attention just come to the moment now. And breathing in, and breathing out. And a long breath in case we can't find the body, then a long breath and relax. But then as it calms down, we can just find some place to be with this process. And a word or a phrase can remind us to receive, to relax, to enjoy, to bless. And as the energy builds up in one place, then remember the Buddha's suggestion to widen the awareness. And little by little train ourselves to be sensitive to the whole body. Because then that blessing gets shared. And as the awareness widens and the attention, the mental attention is directing us here, then the awareness allows the different parts of the body to equalize. So the mind, the thinking mind, the body, and the awareness blend together. Magically, they become unified. And when we get a feeling for that alchemy, that fusion, it's a delicious feeling that's not built on getting something out there. It's a feeling that wells up from in the heart. So I encourage us to be really patient. It's not a waste of time, even if we have difficult currents. This is tough practice. And we can learn to breathe through the currents, let them all, just like that noise in the Church of the Holy Sepulchre. Let it be there. We're still in the sacred place. We're right here in the sacred place. If we just listen, let the sounds come and go. Let our attention ground itself in the body, in the awareness. So that we're bathing our body-mind in awareness. The image that the Buddha, he has a famous image that he gives us to help us remember how to do this. An image for the first jhana, the first level of deep calm that, as I said, has in it thought. So we don't need to hate thought, but we're training our thought to be simple, just to direct us here. That directed and that receptive that can allow us to adjust. If we're making too much effort, it will help us adjust and relax. Over too sluggish, it will help us adjust and perk up a little. Here's the image. It's called the bath, image of the bath man. In the old days, they didn't just have hot water in every house. If you're going to have a bath, you'd go see the bath man or the bath man's apprentice. He would have hot water. And he would have some sort of crystals or powder that would make the fragrant cleansing oils. It says here, just as a skilled bathman or bathman's apprentice would pour bath powder into a brass basin. A brass basin. So this is a lovely bowl. It's brass. It's round. It glows. You know how brass has that lovely luminous color. And he's the powder. He's poured it. It's dry. And knead it together, sprinkling it again and again with water, so that his ball of bath powder, saturated, moisture-laden with water, so that this ball of powder is permeated within and without, but it would not drip. In other words, the water, the bathman is sprinkling the water into this ball of powder and kneading it. Kneading it is with the hands. And the moisture goes in and something happens. The moisture doesn't drip out. It's mixing with the dry powder, the oils, the nitty places. The hands are working it in. Every bit of moisture is absorbed. So that's the image. Even so, a practitioner or a monk, that's us, monk or nun or a practitioner, permeates a word that means mixes through every part of the body, permeates this very body with the rapture and pleasure born of seclusion. There's nothing of the entire body that is not pervaded by this rapture and happiness or pleasure born of seclusion. This is that first development of samadhi. The bowl, the brass luminous bowl is our awareness. Our awareness is the bowl. The powder, that's our body. It seems to be different pieces, especially when we've not been on retreat. We've been leading our busy lives. We come and it seems elbows, shoulder up here, and there's definitely a big, huge knee down there somewhere that's just aching, and an aching back. Different pieces. Sprinkling the water is moments of awareness. Moments of awareness to the body. What directs it? That thought. In and out. What's needing it? What are the hands needing it? That's this rhythm of the breath. It's an ancient, natural, calming, soothing rhythm that the Buddha realizes the in and the out breath helps tranquilize this system. As we stay with the body, sprinkling awareness, directing the attention, then any nitty, gritty bits, hurtful bits, we notice that, breathe into it, then widen the attention from time to time to include the whole body, then notice something else that needs attention. So this ball of powder little by little gets permeated and becomes fragrant, mixed, suffused with the moisture. These first few days, I encourage us, rather than trying to figure anything out, just keep letting be, being kind, being patient, and practice in and out, relaxing, being with the body, steadying the attention somewhere, and from time to time allowing the whole body to be permeated, suffused with awareness. Practicing not being in too big a hurry. Learning to what's called pitti, learning to be filled and enjoy just the feelings, even difficult feelings. We can learn to allow them. And you might be surprised, just like even for a moment when I was wanting to run out of that church, when I just relaxed and just thought, why am I making a problem of this? Just relaxed. And it, I just let it be. And my attention just so easily just dropped into the ground of this body. Letting each out-breath encourage me to relax. Received in this listening, in this awareness. Enjoying something so simple as breathing in and breathing out. So however it's been today, I encourage you to give yourself credit that you're still here. And to remember this is a challenging thing. But that at least by seeing these difficult states, if that's what's been coming, there's the possibility of becoming more human. And deepening our capacity to be realistic. And with these tips, these suggestions from the Buddha, we can transform these currents, this confusion, into tasting the enjoyment of just being. With something simple. And if little by little for the rest of our life we just develop a little bit, then we learn to take a holiday and touch sacred ground wherever we are without having to have special sights, special sounds. We learn little by little to touch into that ground of tranquility. on this evening of the Shabbat. The beginning of the Shabbat. We can make a gift, wishing may all beings near and far, seen and unseen, may they share in our good work today, just our moments of patience and willingness to be with how things are very precious in a world caught up in confusion and conflict. What we've been doing today is suffering for the sake of ending suffering. Learning how to build a bridge with our being from suffering to peace. So with the ease of each out-breath, just as we relax with each out-breath, like dropping a pebble into a pool, sending ripples that extend. May we wish, may the goodness of our day bless every cell in our bodies, every part of this room, each other, Mother Earth, the trees, the sky, the beings around us, the land around us. With the ease of each out-breath, we bless all beings. Just by relaxing and wishing, may all beings be well. Leave behind distress and touch into the peace that's always shining in our heart. Carry this prayer, we'll chant the ancient mantra, Om Mani Padme Hum. May all beings be free from suffering. Om Mani Padme Hum. Om Mani Padme Hum.